Greetings, welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Sawadee karup. Guten tag. Jiao weevi va katang. Half a day. Jai janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Kilitary Industrial Poor Nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster-bankrupt corruptocracy-mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food-borne in the USNRA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We started Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden this past week, associated with the T Radio V Network, and we're archiving the TV show also at GoVeganRadio.com. So, there'll be perhaps some crossover between the two shows if I have a particularly good interview or interviews on the TV show. I may use them on the radio show. I may use parts of them. I may not. We make this up as we go along. As we started the vegan radio show here 12 years ago, who knew what Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would be? What would the sound be of a vegan radio show? I didn't want people, running away, slashing their wrists out of depression, but, oh, it could be that way, especially at times like this, as we discussed on the TV show, at times of human celebration. Those times seem to be times of animal massacre. Today, though, we do note the birthday of a true vegan hero, Cesar Chavez. Yes, totally vegan, respectful of all life, knowing that the key to peace was respect for all life. In fact, later on the program, you'll hear the interview with his eldest granddaughter, Teresa Chavez Delgado, who talks about Cesar Chavez and how he was vegan. And even in that case, when there are the gatherings, as there are this weekend, and people are having the family gathering, the Easter gathering, and when vegans are in attendance, other family members get a little uncomfortable, because, well, maybe they feel a little guilty, same thing happened with Cesar Chavez and his family. He'd go there, and not all of them were vegan, and he'd make them feel uncomfortable, too. He wanted everyone to go vegan. He took as much pleasure in people going vegan as people adopting trade unionism. So we honor Cesar Chavez. What would be the best way to honor Cesar Chavez be? It would be to go vegan. He wanted everybody to go vegan. Today, the birthday of Cesar Chavez is also Easter Sunday. And as I talked about on the TV show, I was quite upset last week going to Whole Foods Berkeley. And unfortunately, terrible timing on my part because it was cage-free egg celebration day. I'm on the side of the chickens, and they don't have much to celebrate. But here was all the propaganda, the eggstravaganza brochure, the We Love Eggs, the We Love Eggs brochure, coming from Whole Foods, and so much of this directed toward little children, and really how we put children on the path to, it may be cage-free celebration day, but to me it was indoctrination of children into unhealthy eating day. The Harvard study that's in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 2008, physician's health study, over 21,000 people studied over 20 years. The more eggs you eat, The sooner you die, it seems to say here, one egg a day caused almost a quarter more overall deaths, 23% more overall deaths than those who consume the fewest amount of eggs. Diabetics react twice as badly at one egg per day, with 50% more overall deaths than those who eat the fewest eggs. The conclusion of researchers at the University of Minnesota, and we're talking about our Easter egg coloring, right? Okay, for our friendly eggs, we color them, we eat them. The conclusion of researchers at the University of Minnesota in a study of 29,000 women published in the American Journal of Epidemiology is that consumption of eggs increases the risk of ovarian cancer. How ironic is that, huh? You know, that you get cancer by consuming the, you know, products of reproductive organs, right? A Harvard study in 2002 of 350,000 women is associated breast cancer with egg consumption. So you have ovarian and breast cancer from egg consumption. And, well, guys don't get away either. You know, a recent National Institutes of Health study, funded study, showed that consuming 2.5 eggs per week, 2.5 eggs per week. What happened? Well, the risk for a deadly form of prostate cancer for men increased 81%. Also, in a 14-year study of 28,000 men, it was shown the death risk increased when men who already had prostate cancer consumed poultry and red meat. The Hipple Cancer Research Center in a 2003 study of 34 countries, that study called Nutrition and Cancer, states, quote, egg consumption was associated with an increased risk of colon and rectal cancer. So, there, the innocent little egg that you color over there. Where did I put that brochure? Oh, you know, and the time just seems to fly so quickly. I wanted to get to that holiday ham, too, and I'm still on the eggs because I'm so upset they had the cage-free eggs for the cage-free chickens at the celebration last week at Whole Foods. They were, of course, in cages, you know, cage-free chickens, free-range chickens. They're all, you know, so what? They're in a barn with 100,000 other birds crammed together. That's still a cage, huh? But they were handing out this flyer to kids. There was chicken facts. And by the way, you know, the cage-free, the free-range chickens, their mortality rate is higher than the factory farm crammed into the so-called battery cages chickens. You know, go figure that. But then they have more, you know, they're covered with more poop and more infectious disease happens with them. I mentioned on the TV show, it's very upsetting to me that this chicken fact sheet that they hand out to kids, this propaganda here, it's like, it says, who are the chicken's enemies, okay? So it says, the answer, hawks, bobcats, snakes, skunks, owls, raccoons, and foxes. What is the truthful answer? Who are the chicken's enemies? People who eat chickens, obviously. People who eat eggs, okay? Because it also says on the sheet here, how long do chickens live? Well, they live up to 20 years, but on average, they live to be 8. Well, maybe that average comes down a bit when, you know, the broilers, the broiler chickens, they're killed at 7 weeks. The breeders, they're killed at 16 months, and the egg-laying hens are killed at 2 years. So that kind of brings the average from 20 years down quite a bit, don't you think? And, you know, also the mortality rate for organic chickens higher than the battery cage, crammed in battery cage chickens. Maybe that's because they don't, you know, get the antibiotics. You know, they don't get the antibiotics like the drug chickens. So there, you know, the double-edged sword. And we were talking about Mary's chickens when I went out there. She was saying, oh, look, my birds are not de-beaked. They come from Mary's chickens. And so I thought, oh, well, Mary, you know, I didn't know Mary had chickens. I knew Mary had a little lamb. And, of course, leg of lamb was on the holiday menu when I went inside at Whole Foods there, the crusted leg of lamb. Can people still eat something or someone called leg of lamb? You're eating someone's leg. I mean, hello? I mean, how barbaric can that be? I guess Mary, you know, my opinion of Mary going down. Mary had a little lamb, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Apparently, Mary went to the slaughterhouse, because I also see that on the menu for Passover were Mary's organic chickens, who I guess didn't do as well as the two chickens on display out front. Maybe the two chickens who didn't get to beat the all of California, huh? Okay, so everybody for the Easter holiday eating the food, you know, which would not be, Jesus wouldn't approve, nor would his mother Mary. I guess his mother taught him what to eat, and, you know, if Jesus were the Essene Jew, he would not have consumed animal products or worn animal products, and he would have been vegan, as Genesis book 1, verse 29 says. So he would not have stopped off at, what is it, bee vomit-covered ham. He wouldn't have picked up, you know, a honey-baked ham to go today. He wouldn't have been one of those people walking out with the little body bags and then, you know, ending up in the body bag prematurely. So it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and we're now on TV associated with we're doing two programs a week, by the way. So we're doing Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden Thursday afternoons, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Associated with T Radio V. We continue the radio show, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, which in fact will debut on the Genesis Communications Network the first weekend in May. And we still need your help. We have to purchase radio airtime. We have production costs. And if you want the vegan message out there, if you want us infiltrating, you know, mainstream media, help us out with a donation. We have a new website, and check out the archives there, and hit the donate button at goveganradio.com. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available, too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3600.
3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, where we also have the archives of Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden, the archives. We've done one show this past week, was the debut, and I had a very special guest, as today we celebrate the birthday of a true hero, vegan, Cesar Chavez, who took veganism very seriously. He wanted people to go vegan as much as he wanted people to be part of the trade union movement, as much as he was dedicated to human rights, civil rights, social justice. He was dedicated to animal rights and veganism. And today is his birthday. Coming up a little bit later on the program, you'll hear the interview we conducted with his granddaughter on the TV show this past week. And also a little bit later on, we enjoyed vegan Mexican food on the TV show from Flaco's Restaurant. We'll hear from Antonio Magana from Flaco's, and Dixie May heard there was going to be free vegan food at the debut of Go Vegan TV. So, of course, she of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society had to be there for that. Right now, I'd like you to hear my talk with another hero, a true vegan hero, peace activist, who is embarking on an important mission this coming Thursday, which is an important anniversary for her. So here now, Cindy Sheehan on Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden this past Thursday. We continue on Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden, our debut show. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have on than our guest today, Cindy Sheehan, who is here in the studio of T-Radio V. Cindy, a vegan, has become known as the Peace Mom, having gained world attention for protesting the Iraq War after paying the ultimate price a mother can pay in war. Her son Casey was killed in Iraq, and the media were focused on her when she set up Camp Casey, a makeshift camp outside of George W. Bush's Crawford, Texas ranch. You know, we're still paying $1 million a year for his office. You know what I mean? It's like, right. It's really crazy. I mean, like, well, maybe somebody will teach him to read, or maybe he should read some of, you know, one of Cindy's books there, like Dear President Bush, written with Howard Zinn. Cindy has a number of books out, Not One More Mother's Child, Myth America, Revolution, A Love Story. There is the website, Cindy Sheehan's soapbox.com, and you are the activist, the true peace activist. So whichever party is conducting war, you right. are the peace candidate. You just actually ran for vice president, and you've run for Congress. Mm-hmm. You've stopped running now. Now you're going to pedal.
First of all, hi, Bob. Thank
hi,
you.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm so honored to be on your first show here. It's really great. And yes, I'm going to be riding across the United States starting a week from today. And I'm going to start in Vacaville, California. That's April 4th. That's the day my son was killed. It'll be the 9th anniversary.
Wow.
And also it's the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered. So it's very significant, we think. We're going to go across the United States, take 90 days, end up in washed-up D.C., I like to call it. Since you're so good with the words, we're going to end up in washed-up D.C. in front of the White House. Hopefully we'll have hundreds, if not thousands, of bikes and people walking, and however you get there, protest and say, you know, enough is enough. These wars have to end. Torture has to end. Indefinite detention has to end. Monsanto has to end. I like to call the president now Monsanto Obama.
I call him that.
Oh, we've come to the same.
Hey, I always call him President Monsanto Obama.
It's disgusting, you know, to give Monsanto protection. Mm-hmm. You know,
Did you hear about the legislation just passed? I mean, it's incredible. Yeah.
These are the people who gave us Agent Orange, dioxin, PCBs, bovine growth hormone, all these kinds of. So we're trusting them with our food supply and not giving them any accountability. So.
And Congress just passed a law that protects Monsanto, even if a federal court or regulatory agency says stop planting it in the interest of public health.
Right.
Monsanto doesn't have to. Monsanto is above the law.
Right. They're one of the most evil corporations on the planet, I believe. So we're riding our bikes. We're stopping 90 days in different places, and we have
rallies. Where might you be along the way so people can...
People can go to the website tourdepeace.org, and that has... But we're taking Old Route 66 from Santa Monica to Chicago. So we'll be... But we're going to deviate a little bit, go to Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Phoenix, Flagstaff, Albuquerque, Tulsa and Oklahoma City, and Springfield, a few cities in Missouri, and then Chicago, and then we're just going to take different ways down to Washington, D.C. from Chicago. Mm. So we'll be in Ann Arbor, Detroit, which has been devastated by this war economy, Toledo, Ohio, Pittsburgh, and, you know, just many different small places, big places. And, of course, all along the way, there'll be many, many chances for us to protest at military-industrial complex or
some people thought things would be better with Obama, but look at the drones. Look at indefinite detention of U.S. citizens. And now he can assassinate people?
Kill list. He has a kill list. And I think probably every president did, but Obama is very open about it, and his Department of Justice has written memos justifying killing Americans without their due process, which is abominable. So we're protesting that. We're hoping, like you said, I protest the war as if it doesn't matter if there's a Republican or a Democrat in office, but we're hoping to, like, reactivate a movement that is nonpartisan, principled against these things, and say no matter who's in office, we have to obey our own core principles, not the principles of the war party or the banksters' party or Monsanto's party. We have to act out of our own principles. Mm-hmm.
And they all seem to be one and the same. There's no differentiation.
There's absolutely not.
Michael Taylor of Monsanto becomes an FDA
director.
You know, I mean, he's protecting the food supply. Monsanto gets appointed by Obama to the
he's
FDA.
He's got Goldman Sachs running the Treasury. He's got Monsanto running the FDA. You know, it's just
a new energy czar who is connected to BP and the nuclear and fracking.
Yeah. Hello.
So, but he's our guy, so it's it's good fracking now.
Yeah,
right? It's good environmental devastation.
And we're going to be, of course, we're riding bikes. So the environment and getting ourselves off of fossil fuels and demanding that the U.S. transition from fossil fuels to clean, renewable energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people should know, and what I think is missing from the environmental message is that animal agriculture, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs cause 51% of greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
So eating animals and their products causes more toward climate change than all other human activity combined.
Right. And like I told you, most of the ride are vegans, but I have two friends who are coming that aren't vegans, and my goal is by Washington, D.C., that they will be vegans. I'll shame them. What I do to people who eat meat is, like, I start calling their food names, like, oh, you're eating Julia.
Exactly.
You know, you're eating, you know, if that was your pet dog, would you be eating your pet dog? And so,
right. You eat Daisy?
No.
I mean, Daisy could be a snack in Korea or Vietnam.
So hopefully that's my goal.
Oh, that's great. So Cindy Sheehan is with us today. Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden, our debut show. Coming up, we're going to talk to the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez, Teresa Chavez Delgado. Cindy will stay with us in the studio and talk with us about her peace activities. Plus, we're going to eat Mexican food, vegan, organic Mexican food from Flaco, Cindy.
Yay.
So, yay. So I have to build up your carbs for your bike ride. Right? So you're like the marathon activist. Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden.
And that was from Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden. And we're back on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I would for a moment like to expound upon that which we mentioned about Monsanto being above the law, as I mentioned. Now there actually is a law that says Monsanto is above the law. As, of course, you know, it does control the U.S. cons grease, and it does control President Monsanto Obama. So basically, Monsanto can do what it wants, when it wants. The House of Misrepresentatives had its agricultural appropriations bill for 2013, many calling the Monsanto Protection Act comes in the form of a rider. That rider, in H.R. 933, the Farmer Assurance Provision. The Democrat Senate passed it. The only senator to dissent from the Monsanto Protection Act was John Tester, a Democrat from Montana. H.R. 933 is a short-term funding bill approved to avoid a government or gov-enronment shutdown. It is a 6-month duration. Well, so will Monsanto have this protection for only 6 months? And what is the protection? Even if a federal court, even if a federal regulatory agency tells Monsanto, stop planting your environmental polluting, your health-threatening GMO crops, Monsanto doesn't have to do it. It doesn't have to listen to a court order, a U.S. federal court order, or a regulatory agency. Why? Because it's above the law, it makes the law, it is the law, and basically the U.S. gov-enronment and Monsanto are one and the same revolving door. You know, President Monsanto Obama appointed Michael Taylor, well, he started off as a partner of the law firm that represented Monsanto on the growth hormone in dairy issues, you know. Then, as the FDA's deputy commissioner for policy, he wrote the FDA's guidelines on the growth hormone in dairy, the bovine growth hormone in dairy. Pretty amazing, isn't it? What else about the bovine growth hormone, the RGBH? Well, let's see. When Monsanto got approval for use and this is coming from redgreenandblue.org, outlining some of this. When Monsanto got approval for use of the artificial bovine growth hormone in milk, in cow's milk, the person in charge of preparing the report at Monsanto was Margaret Miller. Later, the person in charge of receiving the report and evaluating it was Margaret Miller. Then she was Deputy Director of Human Safety and Consultative Services in the office overseeing the process. Oh, hi, sweet Daisy. If you see the TV show, you see Daisy, the love of my life, little chihuahua, rescue chihuahua, and now it looks like she wants to take a walk, so now there'll have to be 15 minutes of dead air on the radio show. No, Daisy, if you could just wait a little while, baby. And then also for Monsanto, opening up foreign markets to GMOs. It says, President Obama nominated Islam Siddiqui, the vice president for science and regulatory affairs at Crop Life America, the U.S. agricultural chemical industry trade group, whose members include Dow Chemical, DuPont, and Monsanto. He was the one to open up foreign markets to GMOs. GMO alfalfa, well, as a young lawyer, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas worked for Monsanto, and when the Supreme Court ruled recently on Monsanto's GMO alfalfa, Thomas was one of the votes in favor of his old boss. He didn't even consider recusing himself. So there you have that. Clarence Thomas, formerly with Monsanto. And GMO corn. How do you get your corn improved? Well, it says, first, Monsanto hired Linda J. Fisher, who had served for 10 years as assistant administrator of the EPA's Office of Pollution Prevention, Pesticides, and Toxic Substances. Good person to have on your team as your vice president of government and public affairs, heading up Monsanto's Washington lobbying operation, and then send her back into government as the second in command at George W. Bush's EPA. There you have it. Government by Monsanto, for Monsanto, of Monsanto. So good luck in 6 months when you want to overturn the law that puts Monsanto above the law. Actually, hate to say it, but by listening to this program, it's probably a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. You're breaking the law listening to this show. turn yourself in. To the Department of Deutschland Security. Okay, it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We need your support either as a sponsor. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. We have a new website, many archives there, and you can donate at goveganradio.com. We'll talk to Teresa Chavez Delgado coming up next, granddaughter of Cesar Chavez. It's his birthday today.
Animals and the Afterlife. It's the heartwarming book from author, animal lover, and animal communicator Kim Sheridan. Visit animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book offers some amazing answers. Animals and the Afterlife provides comfort for anyone who has ever loved and lost an animal, and food for thought for anyone who has ever questioned the place of animals in the larger scheme of things. Read about Kim's experiences and the experiences of people around the world in Animals and the Afterlife, Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Award winner. See more about author Kim Sheridan at kimsheridan.com, her other books, films, and compassionate projects. And learn more about this amazing book and order it at animalsandtheafterlife.com.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in Elk Grove and one in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We're now doing a TV show, and you can see the archives also at goveganradio.com. We have the TV archives there. We did our first show this past week. We were honored to have the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez on the program. I'd like you to hear what she had to say about her grandfather being totally vegan. And also, we hear the great Cesar Chavez at the conclusion of the interview in his own words talking about how respect for all life, respect for animals, is the key to peace. So here we go to the interview from Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden. I'm very honored to have today, as we look to celebrate the birthday of Cesar Chavez on this coming Sunday. It is his birthday, the great social justice and civil rights and animal rights vegan hero, Cesar Chavez. Today it is an honor to talk to his eldest granddaughter, Teresa Chavez Delgado, who comes to us today from Northern California. Teresa, how are you today?
Great. I'm doing great. How are you?
Terrific. Terrific. So it must be very interesting to have a legendary abuelo, you know?
Yes.
You go around, there you see Cesar Chavez Avenue, Cesar Chavez Boulevard, Cesar Chavez Park, and that's your grandfather.
Right. Well, I have an interesting story. Last night I had some cousins in town for the various Cesar Chavez events that were going on, and he had brought his 6-year-old to take him over to see the Bay Bridge lights in San Francisco, and we passed Cesar Chavez Avenue, and hearing him explain to a 6-year-old, look, there's your great-grandfather's name, and he was saying, why is it up there? So we were trying to explain to him, and really what it comes down to is that he just was a really ordinary person who did extraordinary things, and he was a compassionate person, and his compassion went also towards animals. So.
Yes, very, very much so. He definitely respected life, and you were in an activist family. As an animal rights activist, I've been arrested now about 7 times, and Cindy Sheehan is in the studio with us, who, if you go to YouTube, it's like she's in handcuffs every video.
Yes,
how many times did you say you were arrested?
About 20 times.
So about 20 times. So Cindy, arrested 20 times. I'm 7 times. But I think you probably got arrested earlier in life, didn't you, Teresa?
I did. I have one good one under my belt. And I was arrested out in Detroit. We were on the boycott, and I went out with my mom and my Thea Lou, my Aunt Lou, and my sister, and we were out picketing, and one of the police officers came over and said, who's the picket captain? We were in front of a store, and they were saying that we were doing a secondary boycott, so they were asking us to leave, and we said no, that it was our right to be out there. And they asked for the picket captain, and everybody pointed to me. And they said, we will arrest her. And I was, I think, 5 years old at the time, 5 or 6. And then someone had the bright idea to put a sign that said, I'm the picket captain, around me. And I got arrested.
You were arrested at age 5.
I was arrested by the Detroit Police Department.
Ah, a badge of honor.
Yes, actually it is a badge of honor, and we were not in there very long once we started chatting with them and, you know, letting them know what was going on. I don't think they wanted all the bad publicity.
What was it? Why did your grandfather rise to such a prominent position in civil rights and social justice? How was it that he became such a leader and focal point?
Well, I've heard the story that once my grandfather was working actually here in San Jose, California, in the fields, and there was a number of different people working in the fields. There was a lot of recent immigrants, and then there was first, second generation migrant workers that would follow the crops. And one day he was talking to his brother, and he said, you know, this is just really terrible how they're even in the fields, different people are treated differently, and we're all the same. You know, we're all humans, we're all people, and we're basically feeding the country with the work that we're doing, and we're treated so poorly. Someone's got to make a change. And his brother, Richard, who recently passed away, was saying that he remembered that my Tata Caesar always used to tell him, someone's got to do something about it, something's got to be done. And little did he know that, you know, he would be the one that was making that change. But just through watching what was going on in the field, how people were treated, and he was such a compassionate man, he felt something needed to be done, and he's the one who did it. After he started organizing with the community service organization, he decided that he wanted to concentrate on helping the most needy. And at the time, he felt that the most needy were farm workers. And mm-hmm. So that's what he started to do.
Apparently, he also felt the needy were animals. And how did he have such a love and respect for animals?
Well, I know out in La Paz, where in Keene, California, where the USW is still headquartered, it's a big open space. It's 181 acres out there in the Tehachapi Mountains. And I remember as a child him having always had a dog. So he always had dogs. He had some goats at a certain time. He had a garden. There's always animals out there out in La Paz. So I know that he was just a compassionate person, and he realized later on, not early, like we had the fortunate, you know, we were fortunate enough to learn these things from him early on. He learned later on that animals have feelings. Mm-hmm. And once he learned that they had feelings and they could feel things, especially when he learned that they can feel things like fright, that really hit home with him. So realizing that they can feel afraid and cold and hungry and unhappy and, you know, have the same feelings that we do, he then started becoming a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. And became totally
then
vegan.
Then a vegan. Mm-hmm.
Completely vegan. So
right.
That's really wonderful. I heard it said that Arturo Rodriguez, the president of the United Farm Workers, said Cesar Chavez took as much pleasure, was made as happy when he converted somebody to vegan vegetarianism as he was to convert somebody to trade unionism. So
he was very excited about it. He was always excited to talk about it. And we have a very large family, and so some of us are, every now and again, are vegetarians or vegans or macrobiotic or what have you,
mm-hmm.
doing different eating styles.
Mm-hmm.
And those that were eating meat, he would, you know, tell them, Mija, why do you want to eat that? You know, what are you doing? And he would kind of not lecture us, but just definitely open our eyes and educate us.
Yeah.
And I myself have been, I'm not totally vegan, not yet, but I definitely have been vegetarian my entire life, and that was really once my parents, we were vegetarians, and then once my parents kind of started eating meat again, I was quite young, and I said, nope, I'm not going to eat meat. I want to be like my tata.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wanted to stay just like him, and then I just never went back or never started eating meat, so...
Great. And probably 15 or 20 minutes left in the show. By the end of the show, I'm kind of hoping that you'll go vegan today, right?
You might. Just convince me, Bob. You know, I gave up cheese for Lent.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very hard, but it can be done. So
right.
Maybe.
But you know, it was your grandfather, your abuelo, who said that if you do it for compassionate purposes, you get rid of dairy and eggs first. So that's what he had to say. So I need to come to a family gathering, obviously.
You're going to need to come.
We need to get together.
Educate us all. But he was, you know, he had two dogs. He had two guard dogs. And they were Boycott and Huelga, so those were his two dogs. I now have a dog named Boycott myself, but he was very compassionate to his animals. And, you know, when you read that statement that my grandfather made, the quote about he became a vegetarian after realizing that animals feel afraid, cold, hungry, and unhappy, that really hit home. You really start to think about how the animals do feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important to think about things like that.
Definitely. We're talking to Teresa Chavez Delgado. She is the eldest granddaughter of Cesar Chavez, our hero. And in San Francisco, Cesar Chavez, the Cesar Chavez Festival and Holiday Parade will be Saturday, April 20th. I'll be speaking at that event. Just like at family gatherings, you know, the vegan always makes the other family members uncomfortable, you know. So I'll be there too. They want me on stage because, you know, to honor Cesar Chavez, to honor his memory properly, is to talk about his concern for veganism. And then I would have to say, but then what would Cesar Chavez eat if he were here at the festival? So I might invite Antonio to come in from Flaco's. I wish you were here today, Teresa. We have vegan Mexican food from Flaco's in Berkeley, a vegan Mexican restaurant. Organic food must be delicious. We're about to have it, come through the door with Antonio and Dixie May of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society will be accompanying. And so we're having a party. We're having a celebration in honor of your grandfather.
Yes, and there's so many events around the Bay Area. I'm going to a flag-raising ceremony this evening in San Jose at San Jose City Hall. And then there's some events this weekend. I know there's a breakfast tomorrow, and then a march in San Jose on Saturday. So we kind of spread out all over.
Right.
We're very honored and very happy, very honored and touched that people still remember all aspects of my grandfather and what he did.
Right, definitely. And we certainly cherish him, too. And there are events in Southern California and many Western states. Right now, we have a short video of your grandfather speaking. And I want to thank you for being with us today, Teresa Chavez Delgado. And now we hear Cesar Chavez and his respect and love for animals in his own words.
Thank you very much, Renee, brothers and sisters, Dr. Elliot Katz, and all the members and supporters of In Defense of Animals. We bring you greetings from the farm workers and all those people who feel like you do, that we must respect all life without exceptions. We need in a special way to work twice as hard to make all people understand that animals are fellow creatures, that we must protect them and love them as we love ourselves. And that the basis for peace is respecting all creatures. That's the basis for peace. And that we cannot hope to have peace until we respect everyone, respect ourselves, and respect animals and all living things. And that's the basis, we think, the beginning of peace. We cannot defend and be kind to animals until we stop exploiting them. Exploiting them in the name of science, exploiting animals in the name of sport, exploiting animals in the name of fashion, and yes, exploiting animals in the name of food.
Okay, it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, huh? The basis for peace is respecting all creatures, Cesar Chavez says. And then his granddaughter says at family gatherings, when someone eats meat, he says, hey, why do you want to do that? What are you doing? The Cesar Chavez Holiday Parade and Festival 2013, Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. Assemble for the parade at Dolores Park, 19th and Guerrero. 11 a.m. parade, noon to 5 is the 24th Street Street Fair between Treat and Bryant Streets. I hope to see you there. Donate at goveganradio.com. A grocery store that's 100% vegan, and not just that, the largest vegan grocery anywhere? It's Viva La Vegan, 9456 Robert Street, Rancho Cucamonga. Thousands and thousands of items, everything vegan, everything cruelty-free, No animal ingredients, no animal testing. Viva la vegan grocery. Organic produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds. And introducing Veganic. Want to go beyond organic? Coming soon to Viva la Vegan. Thousands of grocery items, some you won't see anywhere else. Fresh juice from the juicer at Viva la Vegan Grocery. Donuts, cupcakes, supplements, gluten-free. Viva la Vegan. Raw foods, vegan dog food, household items, personal care, books, belts, shoes. They all come together at the largest vegan grocery anywhere. Great prices, friendly staff, thousands of items, everything vegan at Viva la Vegan. 9456 Roberts Street, Roberds, Rancho Cucamonga, California. 909-941-4495. VivaLaVeganGrocery.com. 909-941-4495. Viva la Vegan. Move over dairy. Make way for creamy goodness from coconut cow. Real food, real nutrition from coconut cow. Coconut yogurt, cultured, fermented, creamed coconut meat. A treat by itself or with fresh fruit. Coconut cream, a vegan's dream for baking instead of butter. Raw coconut water, coconut milk for smoothies. Coconut kefir, mango lassi. Visit CoconutCowCafe.com. Organic, gluten-free nutrition from coconut cow. No fumigated coconuts from Thailand are ever used by coconut cow. Also try coconut cow fermented sweet potatoes and sweet potatoes with mango, artisan sauerkraut, and kombucha. Available at Viva la Vegan Grocery, Rancho Cucamonga, and Grassroots Natural Market and Kitchen, South Pasadena. Shipping available. Call 626-993-5631. Coconut Cow Cafe.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. If you are repulsed and outraged by the thought of an Easter ham, put on your calendar the protest against Farmer John's. It's on Saturday, May 4th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Killing Factory in Vernon, California. The Farmer John's protest, Saturday, May 4th. Also, Humanity Through Education is organizing protests against the Universal Circus back in the Bay Area after a four-year hiatus. And it's not welcome here because it is another one of those animal-abusing circuses. Protests April 4th through the 14th at 633 Hagenberger Road in Oakland. Go to GoVeganRadio.com, archives for the TV show and the radio show, and you can support us with a tax-deductible donation. It's GoVeganRadio.com.